Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and thrilled that you're with us. It is Thursday, April 26, 2007, 2 a.m. here on the nose in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. We certainly appreciate you, and wherever and however you might be listening, welcome aboard. Our phone number is 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Certainly appreciate our guest, Marshall Klarfeld, and all of his hard work. I mean, obviously, there's so much of this out there, and I do think that, well, gosh, you know, we were born into a world where everything that we've been told has pretty much unraveled, and at this point, we got to sort of rebuild our information, and I think it's just invaluable to have so many people out there exploring different angles, different concepts, different theories, and different possibilities. And how many times have we talked to guests where they said, you know, in order to pursue the future, you got to look at the past. I mean, well, think about it in this way. For those of you who have been big sci-fi fans growing up, you've got Star Trek and different things like that. Well, here you've got the show in the 60s, and they're coming up with these things called, you know, transporters and warp drive and phasers and things like that. And then, of course, you know, they have the Next Generation, which came out, I guess, in the late 80s and stuff. And they've got other things that they're talking about, like nanites and whatnot. Well, here we are, you know, in 2007, and nanotechnology is pretty common, at least, you know, to talk about. I'm not saying it's everywhere, but, you know, they're doing it, and other things as well. When you talk about warp technology, I mean, these are things being pursued. Another common theme with some of these aspects of future technologies, future programs, would be stuff like time travel and certainly inordinately powerful weaponry. Now, there's a reason why you can say, well, you know, hey, these things are just being patterned after that. Well, and that's certainly possible. It's possible that scientists are saying, well, we'll just name this warp drive because everybody knows about Star Trek. But it gives people something to shoot for. Okay, and I think it's the same thing applies when you've got all this research into ancient technology and engineering and weaponry and genetics and whatnot, and plenty of evidence to support that these things did take place. Whether you're looking at Marshall Klarfeld's work or Patrick Heron or Joseph Farrell or any of the people we've discussed in the past who've you know added to this material in a broad way. Don't think for one second that some of the agendas being implemented today are exactly like this. You know, here Marshall was talking about hours ago about, you know, this Planet X or Nibiru or whatever the name is or whatever it's called, and sort of the climactic upheaval of this planet sort of passing nearby. Well, you know, here you've got the Pentagon saying things just like that. And the report obviously came out before the much later than the writings of, you know, the Sumerian societies and whatnot. So there's something to this. I don't know what it is, but we're all out there trying to figure it all out together. But when we talk about technologies and we talk about different things, people have different ideas, different implementations for technology. Some would say, well, we can use this to help people. We can use this to do this or accomplish that goal. Inevitably, there's always going to be a dark side. And, well, we'll probably discuss some of that here in this hour. I don't have a whole lot of time, obviously, with my news segments very, very lengthy. But here this hour, I'm going to talk about some technology, maybe some of it you know, maybe some of it you've never heard of, but also well worth exploring. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, ordering emails, tracking devices, and seizing property record numbers. They're demanding invasive information for even the small transaction. Fortunately, hackers looking to harm you or financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by R. Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the method he himself has used and others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, Seal your files airtight, drop the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The book and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information, legal mess, the powers that don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increase in group medical insurance premiums. Employees shouldering more of the burden themselves. Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents, has the answer. Health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, manage, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to low deductibles for your employee and employees. Toss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HR plan can save thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discussing how to roll insurance costs. HRA concept. Core Documents is the primary source for plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at documents.com. It's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been a global supplier of the finest natural medicines, specialized in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbal oils and educational material. We have homeopath detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSD, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopath healers via correspondence. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer's letter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our 100 exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frank Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours of radio tonight, no exception. We are talking about some very, very fascinating stuff in terms of technology. This stuff, a little on the darker side, I suppose. First one comes from Wired.com. April 6th is where when this came out. So much conspiracy disinformation surrounds some past work on LSD and other chemicals that it's been difficult to separate fact from fiction. That is starting to change, however. Advocates of using chemicals in non-lethal warfare are increasing, making now a good time to start reviewing the historical record. Recently published book on the Army's infamous Edgewood experiments involving hallucinogenic such as LSD helped shed light on the debate. The infamous CIA work MKUltra is often considered synonymous with all government LSD experimentation, but the historical record is far more complex. So, you know, for those who say mind control is not legitimate, it's not real, they've been working with this stuff a long, long time. And it is on record, it is fact. Okay, anyway, this book that they're referring to here is called Chemical Warfare. And the author is discussing an article published in USA Today, which provides a brief description of the work that James Ketchum was involved with. This is a guy writing about it from firsthand experience. And here is an excerpt from the review, an article, I guess, in USA Today. Doctors gave soldier volunteers synthetic marijuana and about two dozen other psychoactive drugs during experiments aimed at developing chemical weapons that can incapacitate enemy soldiers, a psychiatrist who the research says in a new memoir. The program, which ran at the Army's Edgewood Arsenal from 1955 until 1972, concluded that counterculture staples as acid and pot were either too unpredictable or too mellow to be useful as weapons, psychiatrist James Ketchum said in an interview. So, I think that's really intriguing as well, because think about that. 1955 through 1972. Okay, these were drugs that were very much, and they mentioned counterculture and the whole of that. Well, think about that in terms of the hippie movement. People say, oh, the hippie movement ended the Vietnam War. No, it didn't. The hippie movement was an opportunity for them to seed these types of drugs and hallucinogens and whatnot into the population to find out how they affected people. That's just, you know, common sense. But this USA Today thing continues. It goes on. The program did yield one hallucinogenic weapon, softball-sized artillery rounds that were filled with powdered, bear with me, quinoslinol benzylate, or BZ, a derivative of the belladonna family, placed some subject in a sleep-like state and left them impaired for days. So basically, it's like a sort of sleep gas, I don't know. Anyway. Chim says the BZ bombs were stockpiled at the Army arsenal in Arkansas, but never deployed. They were later destroyed, supposedly. The Army acknowledged the program's existence in 1975. Follow-up studies by the Army in 1978 and the National Academy of Sciences in 1981 found the volunteers suffered no long-term effects. And that's all from the USA Today. And then back to the Wired article. It says, BZ remains a controversial subject. Durham contributor Hambling has written about allegations that Iraq insurgents used BZ to make themselves aggressive. The predominant interest in BZ Edgewood was as a calmative agent. However, and one of the purposes of Ketchum's book is to make the case for renewed work into such chemical agents. So here's a guy who had worked these programs. And basically, he's saying, well, here are my memoirs of my experiences. So he's doing it from a clinician's point of view, in a very clinical manner, saying, yes, notice this subject had this reaction, this had this. It's like they're his lab notes, in essence. But making the point, hey, look, this is good research. Maybe we should delve back this. It says, Ketchum has a point of view that won't be popular among a lot of people, but that's why his book is all the more difficult to put down, says the author of this article. I find myself constantly amazed, disgusted, and fascinated, a little like the pleasure of reading someone's diary. Some of the oh my moments are perhaps unintelligible, like when Ketchum opens a chapter at his kitchen table eating puffed wheat, reading notes about a subject's descent into paranoia during LSD tests. Or in another case, when he describes watching volunteers, quote, carry on conversations with various invisible people as long as 2 to 3 days, end quote. There are subjects who salute latrines and attempt to revive a gas mask they've mistaken for a woman. Yikes, you can't make this stuff, he writes. So again, just very clinically looking at these subjects and their mind control experiments and supposedly volunteers, but you know, anybody that's ever looked at the volunteer sort of action when you apply or you're offered a slot in one of these test subject groups, you sign a contract, and this contract is devastating. I've actually seen the ones that parents have been given to sign them up for some, you know, test subjects in these chemical experiments, these new drugs and whatnot. It's awful. It's absolutely disgusting. And they don't tell them about these things. So, again, he's saying, hey, look, volunteers suffered no long-term effects. Well, how do you know? I mean, they followed it up, a couple years later. That's great. A couple of years, that doesn't mean anything. So, anyway, the story goes on saying, then there are moments when the military craziness surprises even Ketchum, like when a general envisions a scheme to incapacitate an entire trawl aerosolized BC. Ketchum thinks the notion strange, but, quote, welcomed yet another bizarre challenge, end quote. Well, that there tells you about, you know, most of his mind with these things. You know, so, hey, look, we want you to develop something that can do this and this, and pay no attention to the ethical concerns. Scientists just go, what ethical concerns? Asking me to deliver the goods, I'll do it. It's a challenge. I can pull it off. So there's a problem in itself. Anyway, the story says, the work is appropriately dubbed Project Dork. Ketchum revels in his, particularly when given the chance to make a feature for the experiment. What a first-person narrative may lack in self-awareness, it gains in details. Indicating the guy doesn't even feel sorry for it. He's excited at the opportunity to make the money on his experience. He has no comment about it. He doesn't feel bad at all. One of Ketchum's intentions is that the soldiers involved in the Edgewood work were not guinea pigs, but rather patriots, enticed by a few bits. Some no doubt will disagree with this point of view, and at times Ketchum's to undermine the premise of informed consent, when he marvels at the uneducated volunteers, saying, quote, I was fascinated by the ability of unsophisticated subjects, none have more than high school diplomas, to describe their thoughts and emotions, as what some might refer to as ineffable perceptual alteration. They communicated dramatically, but with unvarnished simplicity. And so he's saying, hey, these people are so stupid that they communicate in a very basic manner that it perfectly communicates their state of mind. The author goes on, in another era, a writer might have used the phrase noble savages. This is not a book that deeply explores the ethical dimensions of chemical and experiment. But for those who want details of past research, it is worth checking out Ketchum's memoir, which also contains a wealth of references and data specific to the military's work. Too much work on human experimentation has been shrouded in secrecy or lost, destroyed, rendering a meaningful debate all but impossible. It has helped build the historical record. It does do that, but the information isn't lost and isn't destroyed. It's just a matter of doing some legwork, and most people don't do that. I mentioned before about some of the big programs, Project 112, Project Shad. You may have heard reference to Operation Bitty. These are all situations where people were unwillingly, or I should say unwillingly, experimented upon. And again, I think that it stands to reason that experimenting with hallucinogens at the exact same time that the counterculture, the hippie movement, the young generation are experimenting with the exact thing, I think there's something to that. You know, the protests, you know, sort of devolve into, you know, well, just look at any film. Some of you probably lived through it. Maybe we were a part of it. But, you know, started out, let's protest the Vietnam War, and you've got signs, and you've got petitions, and you've got bullhorns, and you've got messages. And it changes at some point. It becomes dancing around and doing some drugs, free love, and not bathing, and typical hippie stuff. And then, of course, the music follows suit, which you can make the connection that may influence the other. I don't know. But I think when you look at Tavistock and sort of their involvement, sort of fascinating some of these musical, I guess you could say, superstars, well, it's make you wonder. Well, then they start singing about drugs. Now, Lucy and with Diamonds, LSD. So anyway, this one is from Wikipedia. And again, you can do your own research on it. It's all source, which I do like that, where you can pick up these references. But I remember reading a story a few years ago about Project Shad, and this is a pretty significant thing. And again, for those of you out there, veterans and whatnot, maybe you were this and maybe you were not, but here's what it says at Wikipedia. Project SHAD stands for Project Shipboard Hazard Defense, a series of Cold War era tests of U.S. military of biological weapons and chemical weapons. Exposures of uninformed, unwilling humans during the testing of the testing to the test substances, particularly the exposure to U.S. military veterans then in service, has added continuity to recent relations of the project. Project SHAD was part of a larger effort by the Department of Defense called Project 112. The project was conducted between the years 1962 and 1973, strangely enough, in the same time frame as those Edgewood experiments. And it says this was initiated to the United States' status as a superpower during the Cold War. The project began under the presidential term of John F. Kennedy. It is largely believed that the president or subsequent presidents did not know of Project 112 or SHAD. We'll continue this and, of course, more when we come back here in 3 minutes. But again, folks, just plausible deniability. Here's the thing. A leader, a president, he just doesn't want to know because he doesn't want to have to get on the record saying he heard about it and went through with it. They select people who, you know, have no conscience on these things, and so you handle it, and I just don't want to know about it.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in a time of history. People everywhere are trying to stand these climatic world events out of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your mission. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret cities, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F88-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you prepared for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stovemore wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you independence. You need to cook and bake your food, dry some vegetables, your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireballs that give you an all-night burn, easily up to 2,000 square feet. If you're not, you're off the grid. We have products for you, stoves to Staber washers and 24-volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase us, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest price on the web. So visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Banas, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator, that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Janister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Banister about the legality of income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org at 760-684271 And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frank Speaking Radio. First time a Project Shad and Project 112, and again, Shad stands for Ship Hazard and Defense. This was a pretty despicable project by which they tested chemical and biological agents on veterans, you know, I presume naval personnel, whatnot, whether what they were doing. Anyway, it says it happened, or at least began, during the presidential term of John Kennedy, although it's believed that he didn't know about it, nor did the presidents after him that it was going on. And again, as I mentioned, that's a pretty terrifying concept, because you get a president in office who believes that anything, everything must be done in order to win the war on terror, then what do you have but somebody who's just saying, hey, you do what needs to be done, keep me out of it. I'll plausible deniability. I want to know because I do not want to have to lie. Keep me out of it. Make it find a solution. Do anything in your power to make it happen. You just find somebody without a conscience, and they enlist scientists who are given a quote-unquote challenge that they need to overcome, and it just never, never stops. So anyway, the story goes on here. Robert McNamara did, however, know of and approve of these tests. There's some evidence that demonstrates local governments were involved with these tests, though it is unclear how exactly they aided with Project Shad. The official statement as to why Project Shad existed was, quote, to identify U.S. warships' vulnerabilities to attacks with biological or chemical warfare agents and to develop procedures to respond to such attacks while maintaining a warfighting capability, end quote. So in essence, they wanted to basically gas and poison the U.S. military, our government doing this, in order to find out how to run to it in case somebody else wanted to do the thing. See, that's the thing. We don't need enemies. We could just go ahead and attack ourselves. That's exactly what they've been doing for years. It says 134 tests were planned initially. Only 46 tests were actually completed. In these tests, chemical and biological agents were introduced to military personnel who were at the time ignorant that they were involved in such an experiment. Agents included, but were not limited to, the following, and most of them even know what they are. Tabin, Soman, Bacillus, Globagi, I don't know, zinc, cam sulfide, benzylate, which would be the BZ that we just talked about, although it has like a sub-listing here, Kiever, Cordiella Bernardi, and Tularina. I do, however, recognize two things in there, sarin and VX Nervate. This is what own government, the U.S. government, did to the U.S. military personnel in 46 tests between the years of 1962 and 1973. Awful, awful stuff. It says VX nerve gas is known to be the most lethal of synthesized agents. The department has come under close scrutiny due to the fact, as mentioned before, that those involved with Project 112 were unaware of this being done. No effort was made toward the consent service people. Indeed, until 1998, the Department of Defense stated officially that Project Shad never existed. But in fact, the U.S. military knew of its inception since 1992. Veterans Affairs had been integral to the uncovering of these projects and had commenced a three-year-long test, cost approximately $3 million. It has compared known Shad-affected veterans to veterans of similar ages who were not involved in any way with Shad or 112, retabulated and will be released at an unknown date. So right then, folks, you can see quite plainly the agenda. And let me ask you this. In the interest of sort of the overall picture, and really what it boils down to, right? I mean, everybody looks at it and says, hey, the end justifies the means. That's how our government, views things. That's how all governments view things. There's nobody probably any different. It's not one country better than another. They want to continue their existence. So they're going to go ahead with things like this and say, hey, look, he's sick and a few vets, well, you know, hey, they signed on. We own them by contract, so we can do whatever we want to them. Well, in terms of things like the war on terror, you know, there are countries that are in the cross. There are countries on the Project for New American Century to-do list, and we know about things being done, such as oh gosh, chemtrails. If they're going to hose down veterans, knowing full well that they'll have to pay the price for their future care, you know, through their benefits, which were, of course, taken away, what about all of this leads you to believe that they wouldn't be spraying you with chemicals? I think it stands to reason. A lot of people, what are they spraying? What are they spraying? Well, they're spraying a lot of stuff. And they have no moral qualms to keep them from doing this to the American public. And, of course, the added benefit is this. If you get sick, the government doesn't have for your medical care. I mean, maybe in some capacities they do, but that they're going to have the mandate health care come up in this current presidential election cycle. But they know that the pharmaceutical industry certainly has a pill for your chemtrail ailments. All you do is, of course, pay their bills. And, of course, who pays for the election campaign? But a lot of corporations, a lot of donations, most of them coming from pharmaceutical companies who are in bed, of course, with the oil companies. You see, it's a cycle.
You're listening to the Public Broadcast Network because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet, at least in the gut and mental, that recovers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing things right. It's a well-thought-out formula. The idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead-on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Wow, that coffee smells really...
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee? How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic arabica beans, they're delicious.
I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 160 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy and a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee shop.
Oh, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-317, coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In the United States, it is estimated that over 90% of the income is now used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, leave from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North America Educational Service is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 1,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $250 million of credit debt and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and what can I say, folks? Covering of dark territory here in this final hour, and we can. A lot of people would look at stuff and say, it's a bunch of crap. What a hooey! This is just because it's on Wikipedia doesn't mean it's real. Just because some guy was a scientist who said he did it, he was involved in it. There's nothing wrong with it. That doesn't mean that there is. There's a lot to that, and I disagree wholeheartedly with those ideas. Anyway, if you'd like to take a look at the mainstream media, check this out from Canada National News, January 7th of this year. It says Janine Ward said she was a young mother of four with mild postpartum depression when she checked herself in for psychiatric treatment at a Montreal hospital more than 5 decades ago. Now, again, take a look at the timing. It's all the same thing. It says what happened after that still haunts today, and she will be in a federal courtroom this week seeking to launch a class action lawsuit against the Canadian government for Cold War-era brainwash experiments carried out by her and hundreds of other patients. So, again, when I said, hey, look, anybody would do something like that, you'd say, no, no, not Canada. Come on, not Canada. Government is government, folks. Said who a Canadian press, quote, I'm a guinea pig, end quote. Plain and simple. On and off for over more than a decade at McGill University's renowned Allen Memorial Institute, Huard said she received mass electroshocks and was fed more than 40 experimental pills a day. Huard, who will be 29 at the end of this month, and this was again in January, said she was drugged and subjected to so-called depatterning, end quote, during which repetitive recordings were put in her ear for weeks on end, one of them telling her that she was of no use to her family. Okay, so she's a little depressed. I had a kid, I'm depressed, postpartum depression. So I'm going to go ahead and get some treatment. And what is the treatment? We'll knock you, it will brainwash you by telling you that you're of no use to your family. That'll cheer you right up. That works for me. I shouldn't be laughing. It's not funny at all. Anyway, he says, quote, I came out of there so sick that my mother had been with me for 10 years. I couldn't even take care of my children anymore, end quote. Huard says she lost memories and suffered from migraines. The ordeal came at the hand of Dr. Ewan Cameron, Edinburgh-educated, New York-based doctor who pioneered, quote, psychic driving, end quote, by which he believed he could erase the memories of patients and rebuild their psyches without psychiatric defect. Erasing the memories and rebuilding your psyche. Now, that's keep that whole concept in mind, because we're going to do that with the next story. But, you know, it's pretty good stuff. And keep in mind, they're trying to do the same thing now to the veterans of this current war, the war on terror, the Iraq war, Gulf War II, whatever you want to call it, saying, hey, look, these people are coming back so traumatized, we need to get rid of their bad memories. Well, hey, they've been working on it for a long, long time. The idea, it says, intrigued the CIA, which recruited Cameron to experiment with mind control techniques beginning in 1950. The McGill experiments were jointly funded by the CIA and the Canadian government, both. As director of the Institute until 1964, Cameron conducted a range of experiments, often without the knowledge or permission of patients. As director of the Institute, experiments conducted without the knowledge or permission of patients. It's a running thing. Even industry media. Cameron gave patients LSD and subjected them to massive and multiple electroshock treatments. Some underwent sleep deprivation, total sensory deprivation. Gosh, that sounds like our interrogation methods in the war on terror, doesn't it? You see, these things get brought out after a while. Give it a few decades, people won't be outraged. You know, this gal in particular is going to be 79 years old. They figure, you know, people who suffered the most for this, the true guinea pigs, are traumatized for so long that they're going to come forward, and eventually when they do, maybe they're about to die. They drag it out, lawsuits like that, and then eventually there's no people, no plaintiffs for the court case, no victims to complain. It says others were kept in drug-induced comas for months on end while speakers under their pillows broadcast messages up to 16-hour day. The experiments were part of a larger CIA program, MKUltra, which also saw LSD administered to U.S. prison inmates, patrons of brothels, without their knowledge, according to testimony before a 1970s U.S. Senate committee. Again, a running theme. So you get a scientist talking about these MKUltra experiments with LSD and whatnot, and he's like, oh, fine. Nothing wrong with that. We should continue this. We should keep doing these kinds of experiments. It's a great thing. Knew about it. Yeah, they were volunteers. They were patriots. What about the people who didn't know? What about the people who didn't volunteer? What about the people who didn't get incentives at all, but were experimented on without their knowledge, perhaps much like chemtrails? The CIA eventually set a class action lawsuit by subjects, including Huard, and the Canadian government ordered a judicial report into Cameron's experiments. The allegations have been proven in court. Oh, okay, they have to be proven now, even though it's all on the record. It just said, according to testimony before a 1977 U.S. Senate committee. Anyway, it goes on. Federal court hearing is scheduled to begin Wednesday to decide whether to approve a class action suit. Lawyers for federal government have argued too much time has passed for patients to appeal a federal panel decision. Yep. It's not just the United States government, folks. It's a lot. It's Canadian government saying, they've complained. They're complaining, but they waited too long, eh? So everything's fine. Just tell them to suck it up and live out their final few with the terror and the suffering they endured for decades and decades. Only a couple more years to go. I'm sure you'll die. Huard said the treatments affected her children and her marriage. Says the grandmother for and great-grandmother for, quote, justice has to be done. It's impossible they ruined our lives like that. Couldn't sweep it under the carpet, end quote. And bravo to her. You know what I mean? Think about the level of harassment that that she has to live with and how long and hard this has been for her and for everybody who's gone through this. To even come out and say, I'm willing to fight, that's amazing. I've mentioned this to you before, and I mentioned it to you now, because, again, involving a lot of these things in the mainstream media or outside the mainstream media, it is very, very real. When you start digging into it, it's kind of twisted. This was picked up at mindcontrolforums.com. There's no date on it, but here it says, one of the best-kept secrets in history is the Monarch Mind Control Program, which uses trauma-based mind control along with state-of-the-art mind control techniques to create humans who are totally controlled by a handler without even knowing that they are being controlled. This is accomplished by a sophisticated use of the brain's ability to disassociate, which is used to the extreme to create structured multiple personality disordered minds. So it's intentionally fracturing the personality, creating multiple personalities, and then, of course, programming the psyches, much like what Dr. Cameron was doing and what the CIA funded. It's an extremely technical definition of what the Monarch Program is, as it was used by the Department of Defense, code for a subsection of the CIA's Operation Artichoke, which is known as Project MKUltra. Again, hearing that again. However, this technical definition is misleading because the Monarch Programming, under various names such as the Marionette Programming, has been going on since the days of the Nazis. The basic component of the Monarch Program is the sophisticated manipulation of the child's mind to protect itself from extreme trauma by creating multiple personality disorders. The most inhumane torture is used on children to create extensive AD. Then the various personalities are found programmed using state-of-the-art mind control techniques. Harmonics and sound waves are used to manipulate the RNA covering of neuron pathways to the subconscious. Harmonic generators, codenamed Etherwave, are able to embed detailed commands which are linked to audible triggers. This is one of the standard features of the Monarch Program. Ends have been addressed and brought up in a number of different forms, a number of different avenues, triggers, okay? And anybody that's ever watched any sort of Hollywood productions, some sci-fi movies and things like that, will know what I'm talking about. These things are being brought up, but they've been going on for decades. And obviously, if they've been going on for that long, they've been more sophisticated over time. So what we're hearing about now, coming out 50 years ago, has certainly covered a lot more ground now. And, of course, this one right here we're talking about, they say it's back to the Nazis, so they got 30s and 40s. So 70 years, in essence. Anyway, it says the Monarch Program allows slaves to be controlled by trigger words, which make no sense and to carry no negative connotation to outside listeners. For instance, the words, Mr. Postman, wait and see, might set off an access signal that a slave living from its master will return to its master, or also called a handler. Some slaves are turned into sleepers. They live normal lives, but perhaps carry an assignment 40 years down the road at a prearranged date or prearranged year. Well, sleeper cells, we've heard about those before. They're called terrorists, right? Those are the people who are entered into this country until they've been given their marching orders, and then they go and they commit jihad. This crazy Islamo fascist, right? Or perhaps mind-controlled slaves. Some of the Illuminati hierarchy have been turned into sleepers so that they can be available when the Antichrist begins ruling to train the large influx of new people into the Illuminati and Satanism. Another basic component on our program is a lot of electroshock, which we discussed with that gal's treatment in the Canadian hospital, funded, of course, by the CIA. Stun guns stabbed with hidden electric cattle prods, and cattle prods themselves are frequently used in slaves. Electric is used to create MPD in the creation of the slave, and later it is used to remove memories after the slave has carried out its mission or to instill fear and obedience in a reluctant slave. Slaves generally carry whole body memories of excreting electroshock tortures, tire bodies, and slaves begin a therapeutic deprogramming process that will recover those horrible memories, not to mention many other painful memories. Now, I got to toss this in here, too, because I think it's intriguing. When people are talking about memories returning, they talk about what? Well, they talk about aliens have abducted them and performed these horrible and horrific and humiliating, embarrassing, and painful experiments on them. But what if that's part of the program? Blame it on aliens. It's very possible. Every monarch slave, it says, has thousands of internal safety devices or programs to prevent anything freeing the slave of his programming. If you discover a monarch slave, be careful not to tell them what you know, or you may cause them to commit suicide. Working monarch slaves, also called marionette survivors, is tricky. Like handling ticking bombs, it also calls for dedication and patience. And certainly prayer as well, I would say. It says the present-day trauma-based mind control is now with the practices that the mystery religions practice in deep secrecy. Satanism has been alive for many centuries, but has remained unexposed behind its religious fronts due to the ability of generational Satanists to create MPD, multiple personality disorder. Many of the European kings were Satanists who had MPD. The Romans of Denmark, Netherlands, Spain, and England are all involved in the occult and Satanism. The Romanov family, which had branches in Prussia and Russia, was also deeply into the occult. An examination of their jewelry that the Roman family had while they were in Russia is an eye-opener. Their jewelry was very occultic, even though they had a good Christian front for the public. Only Satanists with MPD can survive. It goes without saying that people in the higher levels of the Illuminati have MPD, but that doesn't mean they're highly structured MPDs, such as the Monarch Slave. So what they're saying in essence is that when you talk about Satanism and mind control and that, they're saying that the powers that be, you know, these bigwigs making decisions, like people who would approve these types of tests on U.S. soldiers or the U.S. population, or, you know, any other place, any other government, any other populace, that these people are controlled. That they're mind controlled as well, to a certain degree, to allow them to have no conscience about these things. You can see how problematic that would be. As monarch slaves have their MPD structured so they become computers or human robots, human zombies in a sense, but they have front alters that can look and act almost like everyone else. The name monarch does not from its royal heritage, but refers to the monarch butterfly. Under the Nazis, the satanic use of MPD was refined after World War II. They smuggled into the U.S. German and Italian scientists and specialists who were helping the monarch program. Right around that same time, in the 50s, right? Talking about Operation Paperclip and the integration of these very scientists into the U.S. And, of course, their personalities, their files being erased, their new identities, new names, and then allowed to filter into the society, continuing their work for a new government. The program is also referred to as marionette programming. A marionette is a puppet, and see German psychologists were working hard at creating a perfect human puppet. The end result of all the hard work put in by German, Italian, American, and British researchers was the creation of an almost foolproof, impossible to detect human mind-controlled slave. And obviously it's not just those governments either. It's quite a few of them. It's just a situation, folks, when we talk about freeing yourself and freeing your mind, it's not simply just lip service to this. It's not simply just a metaphor for something. It's not all that esoteric. It's simply cut and dry, break free of this. So anyway, I've read some of these before, but this is a from surfingtheapocalypse.com. I picked it up in 2000. It's entitled Patents of Mind Control and Behavior Modification Technology. Here's a couple of them. U.S. Patent 4717343, a method of conditioning a person's unconscious mind in order to effect a desired change in the person's behavior which does not require the services of a trained therapist. The person to be treated views a program of video pictures appearing on a screen. The program, as viewed by the person's unconscious mind, acts to condition their thought patterns in a manner which alters that person's behavior in a positive way. Okay, so they patented it to say in a positive way. Positive what? Like, you're positively going to be mind-controlled. Just for perspective, Scotsman, Friday, March 9, 2007. Researchers last night revealed fresh evidence suggesting that subliminal advertising, the deeply controversial practice said to influence viewers without their knowledge, can be medically proven to work, indicating that they're doing experiments to prove that it can work. Back to the patents. 5270800, a combined subliminal and supraliminal message generator for use with a television receiver, permits complete control of subliminal messages and their manner of presentation. Patent number 5123899, a system for altering the states of human consciousness involving the simultaneous application of multiple stimuli, preferably sounds having differing frequencies and waveforms. Well, that ties in with, again, broadcasting subliminal messages in pillow speakers and various things like that. Patent 4877027, sound is induced in the head of a person by radiating the head with microwaves in the range of 100 megahertz to 10,000 megahertz that are modulated with a particular waveform. The bursts are frequency modulated by the audio input to create the sensation of hearing in the person whose head is irradiated. And again, I've mentioned this before, the murder of the, Swedish Prime Minister, Anna Lindh, a few years ago. Guy just walked up, stabbed her in the stomach a bunch of times. They're like, why'd you do it, man? And you know what he said? I just had to stop that that voice in my head. These things, and again, it's a very, very lengthy list, which we just don't have time for here tonight. These things are real. You have to understand that. Stay with us, folks. We have another break, and we'll be back to wrap up the big show. And, of course, the evening here Stay with us. 3 minutes. More Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesAndMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
1, 2, 3, go! My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try.
Glad you're here, folks. Tail end of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and tonight, certainly no exception. We've talked about a great many things here, certainly in the last hour. Project Artichoke, there's Project Naomi, MK Ultra, Monarch Programming, and Project Shad, Project 112. the Edgewood experiments, a whole lot of information and patent numbers as well. You know, these technologies are out there. These things are in the mainstream media, okay? And when you're trying to talk to somebody, you need to know that these things are available. Now, again, when you look at the connection and the agenda of mind control, it is about control. It's about forcing people to serve you. And of course, breaking the mind, breaking the psyche, breaking all of that allows you to be a slave. And allows masters or handlers to have slaves, to have servants, to have worshipers and followers. That is not the agenda that we are supposed to serve. And again, folks, I take great, great comfort, great refuge in faith. And if you've read the scriptures, you know that there is only God that we are supposed to serve. And this thing is evil to the core. It is satanic. And there are ways out. There are people that I've interacted with, people I've communicated with, who either were victims of this, were still immersed in it, and they're doing their jobs, they're following their orders. It's a tragedy, but they have to understand something that all of us need to understand, that there's always a way out. There's never a point where you're so immersed in something that there's no hope. And people need to know about these things, okay? Because we are in the war on terror, the long war. The war that doesn't end. These types of things, these techniques, these despicable programs that have been going on and been perfected for decades and decades and decades are designed to have people who will do things to facilitate things. Now, you've got a situation where you're reading about Project Monarch and different things like that, and then you've got this shooter at Virginia Tech. He's writing about pedophilia, and he just goes on a rampage. He's firing off 100 rounds or something in very short amount of time. People say the guy had no emotion at all in his face. It's like he wasn't even there. He's like a zombie, almost like he's mind-controlled. I don't know. I don't know. It's a situation where the powers that be view us as pawns, okay? They view us as things to be utilized, pieces on the chessboard to facilitate certain things. They might even, in their own mind, they might be approaching it and saying, hey, look, I'm doing something for the good of the country. If we just get rid of these guns, everything will be good. It doesn't matter. There's no excuse for it. The end does not justify the means, but we are free, folks. We're as free as we allow ourselves to be. We're certainly free in the way that we live, in the way we were created. So understand that and understand the authority that you have. You know, people can threaten you and they can try to take things away from you, but your soul is your soul, and you belong to God whether you think he exists or he does not. So have a chat with him. Read his book. You might find some real truth in there. Folks, have yourselves a spectacular day. We'll see you in about 20 hours for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
It's true.